It's here and now. And the coronavirus outbreak has put a strain on cash-strapped hospitals, many of them in rural areas of the country. Mark Holmes has been tracking this impact. He's the director of the Cecil G. Shepp Center for Health Services Research at the University of North Carolina. Welcome.
Hi, happy to be here. Thanks.
What has this crisis meant for hospitals in rural areas? Have they been inundated at all with these COVID-19 patients?
Well, rural hospitals have had financial challenges for years. We've been tracking closures, for example, since roughly 2005, and 2019 was the highest rate of rural hospital closures since we've been tracking them. Roughly half of rural hospitals lose money in any given year, and so some of them 3 months ago were looking at questions of, can we make payroll on Friday? And so as you cut revenue, you know, some emergency departments are talking about 50% cuts in revenue, and some of the elective procedures that hospitals have been turning away for the last month or so, those are the highest margin services. So they've started off from a tricky situation, and they're seeing their revenue fall, and it's going to be tough for many of them to hold on.
What parts of the country do you think we are seeing the biggest impact to hospitals from this crisis?
So the South has always been one of the more the regions that's faced the tough finances from a rural hospital standpoint. But the nature of this particular crisis is that it goes all across the country. And we've been seeing closures in the Midwest now, for example. And as you look at the maps and see the flare-ups of COVID cases in rural America, you can find one in Indiana and one in Southwest Georgia and, of course, Louisiana and in the mountains. And so these pop-ups are occurring throughout the country, and that makes it every region susceptible.
Your center found that since 2010, so the last 10 years or so, 128 rural hospitals have closed around the country. What was happening to rural hospitals before this crisis? I mean, as far back as 2010?
You can really break the causes of the rural hospital closure crisis into four main buckets. One would be population, and we've seen changes in demographic and population decline. We know rural areas in particular have seen household income fall, and that makes it harder to make deductibles and copayments. There's a policy category that include certainly the ACA and the choice of Medicaid expansion, but sequestration back during the last Great Recession, when we asked hospitals for a 1% give back in terms of Medicare revenue, sometimes that meant the difference between being in the black and being in the red. Payment changes in terms of how healthcare is paid for and structured and delivered have particularly affected rural hospitals because of their volume, and they're more susceptible given their small numbers. And the way that medical practice is delivered, the movement away from inpatient care, the concentration of services away from rural hospitals into urban and often larger facilities. The four of those combine to exacerbate the crisis that they've been facing.
You mentioned the push for patients in more urban areas. Is that the alternative for folks who live in rural areas? And then how is that way of doing things compounded by what we're seeing now with COVID-19?
So sometimes this is driven by decline in services. So as hospitals close their operating room or their maternity ward, that's going to mean that instead of getting delivering your baby or getting your appendectomy at the local hospital, that means you're going elsewhere. But sometimes this is driven by patient choice and a desire to go to the larger facility, which may be seen as being
a better facility,
more advanced, right? Which might not always be the case. In terms of COVID, it's really hard to tell, because whereas there's some question as to, you know, my local hospital be less likely to have COVID cases, there may be some incentive to staying local. On the other hand, people may respond by going to the larger area that they've think can handle a wider variety of cases. And I think we're still waiting and seeing how that's playing out.
You know, some stories that we've been hearing, though, is that many of these rural hospitals, as you mentioned, they're understaffed, but also the ability for them to receive some of the state-of-the-art technology, but then also just some of those basic tools, PPE, face masks, and those types of things. What have you been hearing?
So certainly there's a question of volume purchases. And so if I'm a small rural hospital and I have a 1/20th of the order of a large urban facility. I may have tougher challenges getting that PPE delivered. But I think the other thing to think about too is if a hospital has one respiratory therapist, for example, if that therapist gets ill or has a family member who needs to be cared for, now the hospital has zero. And so there's much less room for error in many of these rural facilities.
You know, the president and Congress approved this $30 billion measure to help rural hospitals. Is that expected to help?
I think any time that you have stopgap funding coming in, that's welcome and will be really valuable. The question remains how long this crisis continues. Many indications are that this is a long haul, and that may be a challenge for some of these hospitals to go months under the current scenario, even with this infusion of resources.
Mark Holmes is director of the Cecil G. Shepp Center for Health Services Research at the University of North Carolina. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thank you.